This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduh. Wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdihi wa nasta'ughfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu falamudillalah. Wa man yudlil falahadiyalah. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله فيا أيها المسلمون اتقوا الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولًا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسول فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال الله تبارك وتعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We should all praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again allowing us all to be here today to perform the Salatul Jumu'ah together. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus, Ameen. Now we all know that this weekend, or on the 31st, of October, is known as the day of Halloween or Halloween Day. And we know that this is a big celebration that happens not only in America but all around the world. And we wanted to know, what is the Islamic stance on such occasions like this? So because there were quite a bit of questions that were popping up, and you know, a lot of the students asking certain questions and even some teachers, so I thought, inshallah, I will dedicate this khutbah about certain celebrations and what are the Islamic rulings or implications of that, inshallah. But before I do that, I want to sort of introduce this topic and I want you all to understand it. Now, I know some of the things that I'm going to say today is a little bit of a high-level thinking, and it's probably a bit more suited to the year 7s and above. But even for the younger students, try to understand and grasp some of the information so that when you're getting older, you can understand the beauty of Islam. First and foremost, I recited a verse of the Quran in the beginning of the khutbah, or part of the verse. And this was revealed, or known to be, the last revelation in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Which means, today I have perfected your religion. So the Prophet ﷺ was saying this in his last sermon, his last khutbah, in front of the masses of the Muslims. And that revelation came down, and Allah Ta'ala says, today I have perfected your religion for you, and have completed my favors upon you, and have approved for you Islam as a religion. Right? So Islam has been chosen by Allah for us to follow. And the religion is complete. There is nothing that we need to add into the religion. So a lot of the things that we see that people do, or a lot of Muslims are engaged with, and they say this is okay or this is not okay, whatever the case is, know that Islam is complete. There is no need to add anything in Islam. There's no need to take anything out of Islam. So Islam is complete. And we know that in Islam there are certain rules Muslims are to follow. One of the rules is that Islam has given us, or Allah Ta'ala has given us, certain types of worship. And we know from the last khutbah, we learnt about worship, the different ways of worshipping Allah. A type of worship that Allah Ta'ala has given us is something that has been ordained. It's something that we know. For example, we have the salah, we have the zakah, we have the performance of Hajj, We have the fasting in Ramadan. These are things that have been ordained that we need to do. And for things that have been written and ordained in worship, you cannot add anything new into that. If we do that, then we are committing an innovation, an offense, something new into the religion, which will be rejected in Islam. For example, we know that Jumu'ah, the fard is 2 rak'ah, right? In Jumu'ah, the fard that we pray is 2 rak'ah. But let's say one day we all felt religious, and I said, you know what, we want to worship Allah more. Instead of 2 rak'ah, I'm going to pray 3 rak'ah. Will that be accepted? No. That will not be accepted. It will be rejected by Allah Ta'ala. So you cannot add anything new into the worship, right? But there are other forms of worship that you can do that has not been ordained, but you can do that with your right intentions, making sure it's in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. There is another rule in Islam, which is known as mu'amalat, dealings. For people who are running businesses, someone getting married, running their family, whatever the case is. These things in Islam, the rule is that everything is allowed except for what Allah and His Messenger have prohibited. So generally, you can have certain celebrations, you can do certain business dealings, but if there are elements in there that is haram or prohibited, then you cannot do that. Alright, so I'm going to give you some examples inshallah. For example, during weddings. Alright, I'm sure all of you have been to weddings. Certain cultures have certain celebrations in their weddings. As long as those celebrations are not against the teachings of Islam. For example, there's no blasting of music. There are no dancers in front of people dancing. You know, where men and women are mixed together. Right, as long as it doesn't have all of that, then that celebration is fine. It's okay to do. Alright, as long as it's not aligned to a certain religion as well. So there are certain cultural practices that could be aligned to a religion. Alright, so that is something that is prohibited in Islam. So we need to understand that. For example, Christmas and Easter, it is aligned to the religion of Christianity. And therefore we do not uphold that, or we do not celebrate that. We're not a part of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when the companions came up to him and they said to him that there are certain celebrations, Ya Rasulullah, that we have. They used to have 2 celebrations at the time of pre-Islamic Arabia, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he answered to this. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمْ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُمَا يَوْمُ الْأَضْحَى وَيَوْمُ الْفِطْرِ. He said that indeed Allah Ta'ala has replaced those celebrations with 2 better celebrations. And that is Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. These are the 2 yearly celebrations that a Muslim has. Okay? And in this hadith, the scholars have said anything beyond that on a yearly basis is something that is not in the sunnah of the Prophet. So any celebrations that is yearly, that is done yearly, right? Other than the 2 Eids, it is something that scholars normally do not allow according to this hadith. But let's look more in depth. Since Halloween is coming up, let's talk about Halloween. Now, knowing the rule, if there are elements of haram in certain celebrations, it will be prohibited. So let's look at Halloween for instance. Knowing Halloween, it is from a pagan time. It actually started from the Celtics or the Celtics, and they used to believe that the new year started on the 1st of November. That was their belief. That was their calendar. And on the 31st of October, they would believe that that is the final day of the year. And they would believe that the evil spirits would roam around that night trying to terrorize people. That was their belief. So what they would do, they would tell the population or the people to wear a disguise. And the disguise you would wear should be something of evil, so the evil spirits do not come and attack you. That was their belief. So they would wear something of evil, depicting shaitan. And what they would do is, they would also burn fires in front of their houses, so the devils or the spirits would know that, okay, these are people of the spirits or devils, we're not going to attack these homes. And today, that is known as now the jack-o'-lantern, where they will put the pumpkin and the fire inside. Right? So these are where it came from. And then subhanAllah, in 1834, the church in Europe, what they did was they made the 1st of November known as All Saints Day. And the 31st of October was known as All Hallows Day. Right? Where evil spirits roam around. Today it is known as Halloween. And think about it for a moment. People are dressed up as witches, as shaitan, something of evil, going around people's home and say trick or treat, right? Asking or begging for some sweets that we don't even know if it's halal or not. But think about it for a moment. Dressing up as something of evil itself is no. This coming from a pagan belief, that will make it known that this is not a celebration that should be done by any Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانَ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Verily shaitan to the human beings, they are a clear enemy. Do not approach shaitan. Do not give in to shaitan. So that is why Muslims do not get involved in these celebrations. Another one, if I can add, since we're talking about this, is Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is also very big. Muslims celebrate this day, not knowing where it originated from. Valentine's Day originated from the ancient Romans. They would celebrate in the middle of February something known as a Lupercalia. Lupra is a wolf. And they would depict it as the wolf chasing young girls. That's how it was depicted. And they would celebrate this. And guess what they would do? Something so bad, so evil. They would place the names of young girls in a box. And the men that night would take the name. And that is the girl that they would spend the night with. SubhanAllah. They would terrorize them. SubhanAllah. And that was a normal system during that time. In 270 AD, what happened was they joined things together. A man known as Saint Valentine. What he wanted to do, he was helping the Roman soldiers, right, because at the time the Roman soldiers were not allowed to get married. So what he would do was help the Roman soldiers get married. So he would do things against the order of the king or the order of the church. And what would happen was that person, Saint Valentine, was thrown into prison and later he was killed. He was executed there. And it was known that, and this happened in the middle of February as well. So they put those two together and they've called it Valentine's Day. Okay, and this is something, again, Muslims do not celebrate. A person who is married, they can celebrate their marriage whenever they want. And that celebration should be done regularly. It is not necessarily has to be done on that day. And again, what's big amongst Muslims now is those who are not married. Those who are not married are trying to find partners to celebrate Valentine's Day, which we know in Islam, this is totally prohibited. So you see how these elements are now showing us that these celebrations are not a part of Islam. We'll do one more inshallah in the next khutbah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. The next point that I want to share with you is probably a little controversial, but I wanted to share with you anyway to show you the stance of the majority of the scholars. Now, I'm sure many of us here, we celebrate birthdays. And I know that there are minority of the scholars that say it is permissible. But I want to show you the elements that is involved that could be something that depicts it for it to be prohibited in Islam. Firstly, you got to look at the roots of where it came from. Where did birthday celebrations came from? It started during the Romans, the ancient Romans or the Greeks. And what they would celebrate was, every single year, the winter was so harsh. Winter was so harsh, they didn't have heaters back then. And what would happen, many people would die in the winter. So when winter would finish, you know, they would come out, they would see a lot of dead people everywhere. And they would try, obviously, to bury them and so on and so forth. But evil was very, the winter was very harsh. So what they would do to celebrate those who remained alive, who've defeated the winter, they called it as evil spirits again for the winter to be so fierce, they would celebrate another year of defeating it, or defeating the evil spirits. So during the day of their birth, they would get a cake known as the honey cake, and it would be a round cake. The round cake symbolizes the god known as the moon god, round indicating the moon. And they would put candles in there, the number of candles indicating the number of years you've defeated the evil spirits and the cold. Right? So if you're 5 years old, 7 years old, 9 years old, whatever, that's the amount of candles they would put in. The fire on the candle, the flame, it would depict the evil spirits. And then when they would blow the candles, that would show that they are blowing the evil spirits away because they've defeated it. That is all the indications of where birthdays came from. Subhanallah. Because of that, because it's a pagan belief, Islam does not allow it. There are some minority of the scholars that say, yes, but today birthday doesn't mean that. As long as there's no candles and blowing of the candles, you can have a celebration. That's according to the minority of the scholars. However, and I'll tell you in my opinion, and the stance that the school takes, is that we do not celebrate birthdays. If you want to do that at your own home, that is up to you. But you cannot celebrate birthdays in our school because of these. We need to be safe. We need to be safe. Now, I know a lot of us may say, man, everything is haram. This is haram. That is haram. What is halal? What celebration can we have? In the beginning, I said something really important. We know that Allah has completed the deen. The religion is complete. And Allah Ta'ala has given us so many celebrations that we can have. So many things that we can do. And I know and you know that we have all chosen Islam. Right? We have all chosen Islam to be our deen. And we all say that I trust in Allah. I trust in Allah for everything that He has given us and every order He has given me. I will fulfill that. We all say this. When we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, every time in salah, you're acknowledging this. Therefore, when Allah Ta'ala gives us Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr, celebrate it. Have a massive celebration. The Prophet ﷺ did, the Sahabas did. And things that are not yearly, for example, graduation celebration. For example, you finish the Qur'an, celebrate. Bring your friends and family along. Right? You've achieved something great. Celebrate it. These are all allowed in Islam as long as there are no elements of haram in there. So I hope that I've cleared myself, inshallah. And we know that Islam is beautiful. The deen is beautiful. And it has given us so many things that we can do to love our deen. And if you remember, the last message I gave you 2 weeks ago in the khutbah, Islam came as something strange. Right? It will leave as something strange. So give glad tidings to the stranger. You may feel strange around those people who are celebrating Halloween, celebrating birthdays, celebrating Valentine's Day, Christmas, Easter. Because you're out of it, it feels strange, right? Because we live in a majority non-Muslim country. And that's a fact. But love the fact that you are a Muslim because you trust in Allah. And Allah Ta'ala is going to give you eternal celebration. Where? In Jannah. That is our main celebration, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us, to make us understand the beauty of the deen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from all sorts of evil. Ibadallah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Also a special dua for our year 12 students who are doing their HSC exam today, and of course all of the other HSC exams. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the exams easy for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them pass with flying colors. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them success in this life and in the akhirah. Ibadallah, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. Please stand up, make your rose.